How do you relate all this that you have taught us to meditation? So this question is very important. What I have tried tonight is to help develop the condition for your initial understanding to arise. Then this will help prepare you to have the base and the condition to receive the truth subsequently. If you do not have the understanding of what these five aggregates of form and mind are, then how to see form, the unreality of form, and how to see the empty nature of form and phenomena, and how to see beyond form, then it will not be easy to develop the awakening to meditation. But once you are able to grasp this understanding, it will develop within you a very strong base to receive truth, to receive wisdom. And the next time you listen and reflect on what has been taught, the contemplative understanding and wisdom leading to the enlightenment in the here and the now will be possible. Because this is the second turning wisdom, born of reflection and contemplation on the truth, Cittamaya Panya, as proclaimed by the Buddha. If you reflect and contemplate on it, you will develop a different type of understanding. And based on what I have understanding, explained, it will straighten your views. It will strengthen your understanding of the five aggregates of form and mind. When you see this very clearly after cultivating the meditative practice, it will be a lot easier for you to develop the true wisdom and insight knowledges required to trigger enlightenment. Sati, supported by right understanding or right view with regards to the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and the law of cause and effect, or paticca-samuppada, dependent origination, will bring about samasati, leading to samasamadhi, which are the seven and the eight factors of enlightenment, path factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. So Noble Eightfold Path has eight path factors. Samasati and samasamadhi are the last two, the seven and the eight. So this samasati and samasamadhi is very important. Without meditation training, meditative training, you actually cannot realize this. But to realize enlightenment, especially the first two stage of enlightenment, means sotapannaship and sakadagami, you don't really need to go full into your training of samasati and samasamadhi. You don't have to be very stable. Because through listening, contemplative wisdom, you can develop them. But when it comes to anagami stage and beyond, leading to arahantship and bodhisattvahood, you need samasati leading to samasamadhi. So samasati and samasamadhi are required. They are part of the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why after you have finished our step 7 of the Avijja Sutta, then only you move on to step 8. Step 8 is cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. After that, you will realize at least either anagami or arahantship. So that is the reason for all this understanding. The other thing that I need you all to understand is, you see, in cultivation, when you start to develop the cultivation, there are three stages to development of Dhamma. The Buddha called it the phases of Dhamma. Stage one or phase one is what he called pariyati. Pariyati is the learning of the teaching. So the learning of the teaching can happen in many ways. First, you can listen to the true teaching, the Dhamma. That is first turning wisdom. You have the past, you connect, you awaken. Technically, you don't really need to meditate. Just like during the time of the Buddha, they hear him speak the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the discourse, they awaken. And when Asaji spoke the two stanza, Venerable Sariputta also became a Sotapanna. So this first stage of sainthood is possible. So during the time of the Buddha, you have to listen to his teaching, his discourse. But nowadays, it's easier. We have writing, we have books, we have internet, then we have recordings. So now you can read about it, you can listen to it, then you can Google or do research on it. And there are many reference books or textbooks. So the teaching can be learned through all this new possibility because of advancement in technology and civilization. So the learning of the teaching has become a lot easier and more available. So this first phase of Dhamma, the learning is very important. After you have learned, what must you do? The Buddha said you have to move on to phase two of Dhamma. After you have learned the Dhamma or the teaching, you have to move on to Patipatti. You have to put them into practice or cultivation. So to put them into practice and cultivation, that is the actual cultivation. So under the cultivation, there are two aspects of wisdom that you have to develop. So when you put it into cultivation, means you got to go for the second turning wisdom. Second turning is Cittamayapanya. You have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into why the Buddha say all this and how can I understand all this. When you contemplate and reflect into what he has taught us, then you can stabilize the understanding. Then you can slowly assimilate them into your nature. Then the understanding will prepare you to receive truth. So that is how Dhamma discussion can allow you to develop this contemplative wisdom. Then sometimes you on your own also you can reflect, contemplate and inquire. Yeah. But nowadays because you can attend Dhamma class, you can ask questions, you can have Dhamma discussion session in group. So all this can help in the development of the phase two of Dhamma, the cultivation part, especially through the second turning. But after that, if you want to develop the penetrative wisdom or the awakening, you need to go for the turning, which is Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana Maya Panya is no more the first and second turning. It's the penetrative wisdom born of Bhavana, meditative discipline, or the actual meditation. So for that, you need to develop stability of mindfulness, awareness, sati. You need to realize your true mind, then stabilize your sati until it becomes samadhi, so that you can cultivate the meditative training, especially the four foundations of mindfulness, which includes the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So this third turning training is more extensive, but it's very penetrative. The moment you awaken, you will awaken. Because this one is the direct seeing, the silent mind awaken. The silent mind insight into reality, into phenomena. Then you awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. But for you to have this penetrative awakening, especially when you cultivate the turning, the four foundation of mindfulness and also the Noble Eightfold Path. If you are not ready with the appropriate initial wisdom, we call Yoniso Manasikara, born of first and second turning wisdom, then it's not easy for the third turning to arise. The third turning wisdom need a strong base to awaken you. So this strong base, sometimes it depends on the individual too, that the individual's past cultivation or practices also determine on that. If you have your past, you can actually awaken even through first and second turning practices. Then you will connect to, then you will know how to develop the third turning cultivation. Means Bhavanamaya Panya, third turning wisdom, born of meditative training on your own. Technically, you don't need a teacher after that. Then you will reach back the stage of cultivation from where you actually stop. Then you will continue the cultivation from there onward to develop more understanding, means stability of wisdom and virtue. Means your whatever meditative training to strengthen your karmic nature and your spiritual nature and bring them to perfection, especially your spiritual nature, are the work that you need to do to continue to develop this cultivation. So this part is what I want to add to what has been discussed. So hopefully you can develop the understanding. Okay, now we go back to the Q&A. The key to developing meditation is to develop the understanding of what meditation is. And this one also very important. You can use any method or technique, because method and technique never defines the meditation. Always remember that. Huh? They are just skillful means to anchor and train the mind in sati. But many cultivators need method and technique as an anchor to start with. There is no harm in doing those things. But understanding the real meaning of meditation as taught by the Buddha is most important. Then the method does not matter much, because the method is not the meditation. If you inquire sincerely by asking yourself, what is a method? You will come to understand that it's just a series of instructions to do things or to help you in the practice. Whichever method you use, may it be the breathing or anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, I can tell you that if you get 100 students or practitioners to do it, to do the so-called anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, they will all understand the practice differently and do it differently. Because human nature is like that. The instruction can be misinterpreted. Then it can be like the individual will assume that the instruction meant this and meant that, especially the word note. What do you mean by note? And all the methods and techniques are so different, they may think they are different. But the fundamental understanding behind methods and techniques is very important. All these methods and techniques are needed because human being, before they have the spiritual faculty developed, they tend to be heedless. They think a lot. So when they start to develop the meditation, they realize they cannot do the meditation because the spiritual faculty are not there. So this will condition the heedless thinking born of the opposite five mental hindrances. So when the mental hindrances are there, you think a lot. You become heedless. So they realize they have a problem. So they come up with method and technique is because they need something to hold the mind so that it's not heedlessly lost in thought. So this heedless thinking or heedless habitual thinking, they need to actually stop it through what? two methods and technique. Will this method and technique will allow them to anchor their mind so that it does not wander off, so that they can do those instruction given to them to actually anchor this mind and develop mindfulness. That is the main intent. But some do not understand this. They use the object of meditation instead of developing mindfulness. They fix the mind, anchor it, and develop concentration of mind, one-pointedness or absorption. So that is where the problem arises. When you do not have the understanding, you will debate. So I will go back and read on that so that you can understand. They can have the same teacher giving them the same instruction. But when they sit to do anapanasati, a lot of different things will arise in their mind because of different interpretation and different understanding of the instruction and the topic. The mind is really very unpredictable unless it is very well trained. If the mind is not well trained, what you are doing may not be the real anapanasati. You may end up focusing on the breath, concentrating on the breath, and developing the absorption on the breath. The same goes for rising and falling of the atonement, or whichever method or technique you may use. It may be the dynamic meditation, Buddha, or chanting, or whatever. Cultivating a very stable daily mindfulness leading to sense restraint and the three way of right conducts are very important. These are all part of the Abhijja Sutta. So without daily mindfulness, you actually not easy for you to develop the awakening and the understanding and have the ability to keep your precept and develop the sense restraint. Then without sense restraint, the three way of right conduct is impossible. So the key to understanding meditation is to develop this ability to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness or satipatthana practices. With that, your sati or mindfulness will be very strong and very stable, and you will be able to develop the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, the firmness of mind. They call this mind that is collected and unwavering samadhi. So samadhi is not concentration, not one-pointedness. Samadhi is a free mind, collected and unwavering. Your mind will be very quiet. Your thought will be reduced, become less and less, as explained by me earlier on. So when you are able to develop the sati, you become more and more mindful, aware. Then when your sati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. As you go through this training and this process, you will come to realize every time you are aware, you don't think. Every time you are mindful, you cannot think. Because our mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are with the present moment aware of what is going on, means instinct, or you are lost in thought. It cannot be any other way. So if you are lost in thought, means you are no longer mindful, no longer aware. You have become heedless. That's why you cannot have a clear mind. You cannot have clarity. You cannot be aware of what is going on, which means you cannot develop meditation, you cannot awaken, you cannot develop the understanding to awaken or to insight in the phenomena and become enlightened. So that is the reason why without sati and samadhi, you will think a lot. Your habitual tendency will come in, your mental hindrance will condition you to be heedless. So to overcome all this, you need to train your mind to develop the five spiritual faculty, saddha, virya, then sati, again mindfulness, then samadhi. These are spiritual faculty that you need. Without sati and samadhi, the last spiritual faculty of panya, wisdom, cannot arise. So initially, you need to have faith in the Buddha and his teaching or in your teacher. Then after that, it will drive you to have the virya, the spiritual zeal of tenacity to cultivate. And this spiritual zeal, tenacity, will motivate you to cultivate sati, leading to samadhi. Then sati and samadhi will enable you to see things as they are clearly, to develop the cultivation, the awakening, the practices. So everything needs sati and samadhi. So saddha and virya are the initial spiritual faculty that you need to motivate you to move on to your training of the mind to develop sati and samadhi. Development of sati and samadhi is considered as the bhavana group, the meditative factor, power factor. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is actually sila, samadhi, and panya. The sila part is the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, together with the four right effort. Then the samadhi part is samasati and samadhi. Then wisdom part is the right view, samaditi. So these three summarizes Noble Eightfold Path. So it always starts with right view, samaditi, because you need to have this spiritual faculty of wisdom to give rise to right view. Without the preliminary right view, you cannot start your cultivation. But when your view is wrong, it cannot arise right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And the four right effort also will fall apart. The whole Noble Eightfold Path factor fall apart. So what you need is the three important spiritual right view to guide you. From there, you start with the what we call the initial cultivation, learning the teaching, pariyatti, leading to patipatti, first, second, turning wisdom especially. And finally, only you move into bhavanamaya panya, the turning wisdom. So this is how the sequence come about. So hopefully with this explanation, you all can develop the understanding. Then I will read on. According to the Patisyasamutpada dwelling, if there is avijja, ignorant, mental activity or sankhara will continue to arise. That's why the first dwelling is always avijja, paccaya, sankhara. And that is the reason why you think a lot, because of ignorance. You want to know, you want to experience, you think. So avijja, paccaya, sankhara. So if you do not develop wisdom to understand the five aggregates of form and mind, and the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta clearly, it will be very difficult for you to develop the ability to weaken avijja or ignorance. But when you have developed the wisdom to straighten your view, you will have less sankhara and less thinking, leading to more clarity of mind. Finally, you will understand you only need to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the four foundations of mindfulness, to develop deeper understanding of your former mind to awaken. The four foundations of mindfulness under its fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, covers the cultivation of mindfulness of the five aggregates of former mind. The first foundation, Kayanupassana, deals mainly with mindfulness of all kaya, or physical body, and its main purpose is to stabilize our daily mindfulness. And with that, it will be easier for you to develop the meditation. That's why under Kayanupassana, you have to develop Anapanasati first, followed by the four posture, mindfulness of four posture, then daily mindfulness. That's how you start.